Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. It is a Friday morning, and of course, sort of like Monday morning, the way we started off the week, we are ending the week. No, it's not quite as bad, but there is snow falling out there and lots of slowdowns as people are kind of taking it easy because, let's face it, some of the roads aren't all that clean to begin with, and now you've got, in some cases, I'd say moderately heavy snowfall coming down right now. I reached out to my wife already and said, you better leave a few minutes early. She and my daughter are attending an event actually downtown this week, yesterday and today and tomorrow, and they're going to have to drive down here, and I know it's going to take longer as people slow down out there. Hey, this is happening. Further south, it's worse. We were told they'd get maybe 4, 6, 8 inches down south of Farmington. This is stretching all the way across the lower, the southern portion of our viewing area, all the way into the Carolinas. It's snowing in Atlanta, Georgia right now.
Yeah, I saw my friends in Nashville were saying they're expecting several inches of snow there, which is a big deal.
Oh, do you remember when you lived there? Like when I lived in Greenville, South Carolina years ago as a reporter there, an anchor, when the meteorologist would forecast snow, they would just go ahead and call the schools off.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have to wait for a drop to fall. They would just cancel school because so many of the areas were rural to begin with, and they have no snow clearing machines. They just they don't invest in them.
Well, they don't need to. I mean, I agree. It was like 1 inch was catastrophic for them, and everyone would stay off the roads, and no one knew how to drive who did try to go on the roads. But it is interesting seeing snow falling, like you said, in the Carolinas and Georgia, in Tennessee, Texas. People were freaking out.
And here's the other thing. I mean, 300 flights have already been canceled at the Nashville airport. If Atlanta's seeing snow, you know that's going to happen in Atlanta. It's a major hub. If you're flying anywhere today, you better start checking your flights now, because this system going through the south could mess with your travel plans, your vacation plans, whatever it happens to be, in addition to what it's doing to Sue Thomas's morning. So she'll have the latest on your commute here in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned for that. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend, Illinois State Reserve Rep David Freese, and he's going to be talking more about some new legislation passed by the General Assembly over in Illinois that is, you know, once again, the brain trust over there convinced if we just had more laws to limit access to guns, we could stop crime. It's the most idiotic thing, but they've got a supermajority. It's what they're doing. We're going to talk to him about that if you live in Illinois. And next hour, we'll talk to Gerard Felitti. Of course, he's a political strategist. We've had him on before. He's the head of the Lawfare Project. He's the senior counsel for them. And he's going to talk a little bit more about the Supreme Court decision blocking President Trump's hush money case from being put off, the sentencing. Like, that's supposed to happen this morning, just so you know, if you haven't been keeping up. Right now, Carl, let's get to the short list, please.
The Mark Cox Short List. What were you talking to Barack Obama about?
He did look very friendly, I must say. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize it, how friendly it looked.
Maybe he was offering him a new chef or something for his estate up there in the Hamptons. I don't know. They went so far that they had lip readers working on this, trying to figure out what these two men were talking about, and they decided that it had something to do with an issue that President Trump wanted to ask Obama about and was trying to set up a meeting with him outside of the church so that they could discuss it. I don't know if that happened or not.
You do all do a hell of a job. And we've learned, unfortunately, so much. And there is, in case you haven't noticed, there is global warming.
Can I just tell you, for some odd reason yesterday, I was trying to get coverage of the Carter funeral as I was driving, and I switched over to NPR for a few minutes. And those loose left-wing nuts are also harping about how what's going on out there is not poor forest management and not empty water hydrants. It's climate change. Give me a break.
This is my longest ever interview of a president.
Yeah, well, the longest ever before this was one question, and they would rush you out of the room, right?
Trump's like, hey, everything's about to change. Guess what? I'm back.
Is it appropriate for people in your industry to try to create division and to try to create narratives anytime these things happen? Now, you're not as interested in doing that because Newsom is a D.
In more ways than one, Newsom is a D. This guy, this character yesterday, and DeSantis is right. DeSantis is like, I'm a governor. When we have a natural disaster, we all joke about it among Republican governors. If we have a natural disaster, the default media coverage is, what did you do to hurt this response? And yet nobody's out there hammering Gavin Newsom on his screw up here. Because I'm telling you what, the buck stops in Sacramento. The buck stops at Gavin Newsom's desk. And, I mean, obviously, the mayor of L.A., Karen Bass, and the head of the politically correct head of the L.A. Fire Department, they're all in this together. There's a video out there. I'm going to play it for you because I think everybody needs to hear this. There's a DEI department in the L.A. Fire Department, right? When the new LGBTQ fire chief took over, the woman who's the fire chief out there, the first thing she did, I played this clip for you yesterday in news coverage, is create a Department of Equity and Inclusion, diversity, equity and inclusion, because we need it. And it's going to improve how we fight fires. What the hell does that have to do with anything? We have got to get to a point in this country where you hire people because they're the best person for the job, not because of their sexual orientation or the color of their skin. For God's sake, what's going on here? I don't care what your sexual orientation is. If you're doing brain surgery on me, I want the person that graduated at the top of their class. I don't want you to have been selected for med school because you fit a category. But you've got to hear this, the assistant fire chief. So when the LGBTQ lady got hired as the fire chief, she hired an assistant fire chief to take over. Her name is Christine Larson. This is a video she put out defending the fact that they needed more diversity, equity, and inclusion in the LA Fire Department. Wait for it.
You want to see somebody that responds to your house, your emergency, whether it's a medical call or a fire call, that looks like you. It gives that person a little bit more ease, knowing that somebody might understand their situation better. Is she strong enough to do this? Or, you couldn't carry my husband out of a fire, which my response is, he got himself in the wrong place if I have to carry him out of a fire.
I wonder how the people who have been trapped in their homes from these fires would feel about that. It's your fault that we had to rescue you and carry you out of the building.
Did you hear that? Because I'm not physically capable of carrying you out. I'm going to put the blame on you for getting caught in a house that's on fire to begin with.
Tell that to the elderly people or someone who's disabled who can't physically get up and walk out of the house themselves.
It's obnoxious.
Yeah.
Which means, and you heard Adam Carolla, is that it, Caruso? Spoke yesterday about having applied for the L.A. Fire Department years ago. He was put on a wait list because he wasn't the right color, gender, race. 7 years later, they reached out to him and said, hey, we finally have an opening where we could use somebody like you. Why don't you come and show up? And he shows up that day, and the woman behind him is, you know, a short black woman. And he said, when did you apply? She said, Thursday. That's how they select who will be firefighters or not firefighters. And it's like the Secret Service. You had people trying to protect Donald Trump who were a foot shorter than him. They're there to take the bullet, but you can't protect somebody who's a foot taller than you. There used to be standards that they've had to reduce because of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which we all know stands for didn't earn it. That's all it is. We need to erase this from the American lexicon. Period. End of discussion. This has got to go away.
I'm surprised they haven't allowed that to seep into, like, say, the Rockettes and allowed, like, some 500-pound, 6'7" person to be there on the stage with all the other girls who are 5'7" and 100 pounds doing all those high kicks.
I've always wanted
to
play in the NBA.
Would people like to go there to Radio Music Hall or whatever it's called? Radio City Music Hall? Is that it?
Yeah.
And go watch that? No, there are standards for a reason.
Sports is the only area where that doesn't apply, right? Because I'd love to play in the NBA, wouldn't I? But you think they'd take me? Just, sit one of their stars and put me in there? Come on.
Take out the 7-footer.
I don't think that's going to work. All right, we'll get to a quick break. We'll talk more about this here before the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to get to Illinois Representative David Freese on the new Second Amendment laws. They've passed to the General Assembly. I don't know if Pritzker signed it yet or not. We're going to find out. We'll be right back. All right. So it's a little bit of a winter wonderland out there this morning. The local news stations are out reporting on it. They're all over the place. Sue Thomas has been bringing you up to date. And my daughter, who is driving her rear end to work right now, sent me a text a few minutes ago that I can't repeat all of it on the radio because the FCC would not appreciate it very much. But it went something like this. Did MoDOT just say blanket today? Because I just can't say that word on the radio. And I said, is it that bad? And she said, it's not good. And 40 is not in great shape. And she's, you know, people are freaking out a little bit. There's snow coming in. It's not ice, but you're just going to have to leave a little earlier than normal, I think, basically. And it's I guess her map is trying to take her 364 to Page and then down to King's Highway because 40 is not great. It's trying to avoid that route for her.
Getting on to 364 from 270 is terrible. One of the lanes,
the roundabouts,
is covered.
Circular on ramp.
And it's ironic that you and I, Mark, saw plows this morning. Yeah. They did not have their plows down. This is at like 4:15 a.m. There was no snow. It was flurrying at that point.
My assumption.
Are they out there now? For those of you who are driving right now, do you see plows out there? Did anyone see them pre-treating the streets? I'd like to know these things, please.
I think it's a fair question. Maybe they were putting salt down. I mean, maybe. This is part of what they said yesterday as Channel 4 covered it in regards to their. These are St. Louis County officials, not MoDOT. Just bear that in mind when you hear them talk about this. Go to Cut 12, Carl, please.
1 inch of sleet is like working 4 inches of snow.
Hopefully this next snow will be lighter and easier to scrape. They're already preparing to treat major roadways again.
We recognize that depending on what your trip is, any road can be important to you and friends and people that you know, while something else is important to someone else.
Yeah, when I first heard that bite, I had to replay it because I thought what she said was, depending on what your truth is, but what she said is depending on what your trip is. I had to listen to it twice because I was going to lose my mind if she was that woke. Now, she's been part of the St. Louis County Streets Department for like 20 years. I don't know her personally, but they're talking about how difficult this storm was to plow.
Well, my truth is that the roads suck.
Yeah, that my truth is that I drove it Monday morning. I mean, I made it down here from the edge of St. Charles County out just across the river there. I made it all the way downtown. I have a four-wheel drive truck. I had it in four auto, I should say. So I don't even know how often it kicked into four-wheel drive, but I made it down here. There was maybe some of the roads weren't plowed at all. The highways, maybe one plow had been down at part of one lane. And when it wasn't considerably better 2 days later, I started complaining loudly about it. And I'm not sure I buy the argument that, well, 1 inch of sleet is like 4 inches of snow. No, you've got 6-ton trucks and you big blades on them, and this is nothing new. We've been doing this. I know we don't do it frequently, it seems like, with the big snows, but it's not rocket science.
I can empathize, though, that sleet would be harder to get up.
Well, yeah.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to do it. Especially, I can understand maybe a whole day it takes, but when we are talking about Monday until today before this latest round happened, these roads should have been back to near normal conditions, and many of them just aren't.
I heard that dude say yesterday, some of our trucks are smaller, and then we got these big trucks, and they're not as easy to drive on ice. My street in my driveway, my street was cleaned by a half-ton pickup truck with a blade on the front of it. Clean, down to the concrete. And we got 11.5 inches not far from me there in Weldon Springs.
See, mine's not. My neighborhood's not. I don't know what the problem is. Why they couldn't get mine down to the concrete.
Look at the parking lots. Look at the parking lots and car dealers and businesses. The clean down to the... I went to Schnucks yesterday when I went out to eat last night at Ami's. They got the parking lot cleaned down to the cement. There's no reason why we couldn't have done this on the roads, but be careful out there, because I think my daughter, who's actually on the road right now, is sending me pictures of 364 slid a little bit on the ramp, and it is snow covered. So take it easy out there, folks. Sue Thomas coming up with another traffic check for you in just a few minutes. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about a new gun law passed over in the state of Illinois. Stay tuned.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Yeah, you know, Beto O'Rourke, they've already done that in Illinois. For goodness sake, I don't even know what to say about that. He warned you about it. You know that there are a bunch of them out there that want to grab your guns in any way that they can. And unfortunately, for my friends who live over here in southern Illinois, you've got a super majority of leftists who control your state, and they can do anything they want, including a House Bill 4144, which is unconstitutional, in my opinion. The Illinois Freedom Caucus has condemned it. And we've got State Representative David Freese on the phone right now from the 115th District to talk a little bit more about this. And, sir, welcome back to the show. How are you?
No, I'm well, Mark. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. You know, obviously this caught my attention because I talk a lot about the Second Amendment. And, you know, I truly believe at some point the Supreme Court is going to overturn some of the unconstitutional stuff that J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats in Illinois have forced down our throat in terms of, you know, weapons bans. I think that's going to get overturned at some point. In the meantime, they keep going.
Yeah, it's one of those things that they have their sights set on. No pun intended, and they're going to do everything they can to disarm us here in the state of Illinois. And it's not just what assault weapons, whatever the hell that means, because an assault weapon is something that just looks different than a regular gun. It's got a plastic stock as opposed to a wood stock. But, yeah, so here we have 4144, and what they want to do on this one is if an individual goes in and files for an order of protection. What happens is in those proceedings, somebody goes in without the respondent in court, and a judge can issue an order of protection based on that. But when that happens now is the courts can issue a search warrant and then come in and law enforcement will seize your firearms without any kind of due process. And in our opinion, this is unconstitutional. You have a right to the Second Amendment. And the seizure of your firearms without due process is without question unconstitutional.
Well, it's the biggest challenge with these red flag laws, which, you know, at their base, you can kind of you can understand the intent of it, like the one they passed in Florida right after the Parkland shooting down there. But you can't just throw out your civil rights along with that, because the danger of these is that you've got a neighbor that you've never gotten along with who's just pissed off at you and knows you have guns in the house, and they go and file a complaint against you, and before you know it, you're stripped of your Second Amendment rights. Now, is this a modification of the red flag law in Illinois, or is this something new?
Well, it's a modification of the means by which you get an order of protection against somebody. Yeah, and I agree. So people that don't know, I have a day job. I'm an attorney, and I've been in court on petitions for order of protections, and that's exactly what happens, because if you've got a couple that's been married, they have a falling out, they get in a fight, somebody has an affair, you know, whatever the case may be, is things blow up, and the next thing that happens is you're in court defending an order of protection by your former significant other. It happens all the time.
Well, I'm shocked that they've done it now. So what's the status on it? The General Assembly has approved this House bill. Is it on the governor's desk? Is it law yet?
It is not law. It just got passed. I wouldn't be surprised if it's heading to his desk right now. It's one of those very unfortunate things. We've got the state legislature and the governor all on the same page on this. They wanted to disarm us completely, and they would if they could.
Yeah, well, I mean, this gets back to the other law banning the assault weapons. I mean, I know that a lot of people, gunowners.org and others, and maybe the NRA, are involved in this. I know the Illinois Firearms Association has been working on it as well. They're challenging that in court, but it seems to be taking forever. And I've been surprised. I mean, you're an attorney. You can talk to this better than I can, David. I was surprised when the Supreme Court didn't just immediately stay the law, because on its face, it violates your Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. You've turned legal residents of Illinois into criminals if they haven't gone out and registered a gun that, after the fact, somebody decided is more dangerous than some other gun.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And I don't understand it either, why the Supreme Court didn't immediately stay these proceedings and let the process play out, take it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and get a ruling on it. That's, in my mind, that's what should have happened. That's what happens frequently when there's other things that are pending. Okay, we're going to rule this way, but we're going to appeal it. Everybody knows this. Okay, so we're going to stay the ruling. Everything is as it is until we get to the appellate process. But for whatever reason, that this issue has drug on, and if you know the individuals that are fighting this, they might be able to answer this correctly.
Yes.
But why this has not gone all the way up to the Supreme Court and they haven't kicked this, I have no idea.
I think about that whole crazy deadline that they set for January of last year, where people were supposed to register a lot of their guns. I forget which types, but what wasn't the percentage of how many people actually did that understandably pathetic?
It was like
they actually expected people to be super eager to run out and say, oh my gosh, yes, I've been so excited to register my gun. Here you go. Here's all my information.
Yeah, no, it was really small, single digits. I don't know the final number, but we all laughed about it because I don't know anybody that was eager to do that. And I know people that they absolutely refused. They said, I'm not doing this because they know at the end of the day, when this finally gets to the Supreme Court, it will be found unconstitutional.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the Illinois Freedom Caucus, I mean, thank goodness that there's a group of people over there standing up to the insanity that's going on in Springfield. What difference do you think it might make that when you look at the results of the election, Donald Trump did so much better in the state of Illinois than anybody expected? I mean, we know already, if you drew a line just south of Chicago, it'd be a red state. But even in the Chicago area, Donald Trump got a larger percentage of the vote than I think anybody expected.
Yeah, so we as a Freedom Caucus, we were disappointed that we didn't pick up some seats. We really believe that we should have.
Yeah.
That being said, everybody's looking at the numbers, and we think there is an opportunity to make inroads into the Chicago suburbs, pick up some seats, and allow us a greater opportunity, better opportunity to push back on some of this craziness. And we were actually, I just got back in town yesterday after lame duck. And before we left, a group of us Freedom Caucus members met, and we're in the process of trying to formulate a plan to do this. We've got to recruit good candidates in these swing districts. And even, so Second Amendment is a big deal. Obviously, some of the transgender craziness is a big deal. I don't know a single Democrat that thinks boys ought to be in our daughters', locker rooms or bathrooms. So we need to highlight those issues. We need to push those, and we need to, go out and work for votes in the suburbs. And I think we can do it.
Well, best of luck to you, my friend. We're talking to Illinois Representative David Fries from the 115th District, a member of the Illinois Freedom Caucus. IllinoisFreedomCaucus.org is their website. You could find out about more of the issues they're working on over there. And if you live in Illinois, show them some love. Give them some support, because without the kind of ground-level work you guys are doing, meeting and talking about these issues, you don't have a chance of eating into that supermajority, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Please, like us, find us, share our content, get out there. And obviously money's one thing, but if you can't donate, get your walking shoes on and come us midterm. We got to get out and we got to knock some doors. We got to make this happen.
Yes, sir. David, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure, Mark. We appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Take care of yourself. Good to get you on here. Great conversation. And, that's what it gets down to. Like I said earlier, I got people texting me this morning asking me, well, what about this scenario? What about that scenario? The question is not whether or not the person that you filed for the order of protection against is a danger. I mean, if we're not talking about an abusive relationship and where there's no doubt that the person is a danger. We're talking about the abusive red flag laws, where without proper vetting by the court or anything where you might have a say in it, they come in and take your guns because your neighbor doesn't like you. That's what you have to make sure is avoided in these kinds of laws. And the liberals in Illinois don't care. They don't care. It's why Nick Schroer's filed a bill that would make sure that could never happen in the state of Missouri. So you got to pay attention to these things. Kim, what are we talking about in Kim on a Whim?
I was not in a sorority. I know you were in a fraternity in college, and
yes.
I know hazing goes on, and I think it's gotten out of hand in some cases. And one of those situations has now led Joe Biden to sign a hazing law. And I want to talk about that and what that will now require universities across the country to do.
All right. Coming up in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
So tell me this, Mark, because you were in a fraternity when you were in college.
Yes.
And hazing is just something that happens, right? If you're pledging fraternity, that will happen. It just, what I guess can change is what that hazing looks like.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? That's a line from Animal House, in case you were wondering.
I know of
where
the
they
movie
were all
Animal
lined
House.
Up getting paddled. Yeah. I got paddled. Not to blister anything, but it was just part of the ritual when you got, welcomed into the fraternity. I was in the Sigma Pi fraternity. I believe in Sigma Pi, Fellowship, Kinder Minds. I can still repeat all that stuff because I had to memorize it at the time. But my hazing was not like what you're talking about. We were never forced to drink. We were there because we wanted to drink.
Right.
And we had to do silly things like, carry around a list of with the full roster of the fraternity. And if you ran into one of your members when you were out on campus somewhere, like they could demand that you go pick up food for them, or you had to recite a certain line out of the book with your pledge book. And it was hazing, but it wasn't physical, and it wasn't forcing you to do anything that was dangerous.
I think that's funny. I would almost have fun doing that if I was a pledge, just because it's ridiculous and you look silly. Like you mentioned earlier, carrying a brick around.
A group of guys got caught, as I remember, because the one of the things you wanted to do is if you could get into the house at night, because you didn't live in the house when you were pledging, and raid the refrigerator, like that was really something if you could get away with it. A bunch of them got caught, and they stripped them down to and only gave them sheets.
Oh.
and took them across town and dropped them off with no money or anything. And they had to figure out how to get back. Now, I guess you could argue that maybe that was dangerous. Mostly it was funny. The stories they told about having to try to hitchhike back to the to their dorms.
Wearing a sheet.
Yeah, wearing a sheet. But it wasn't physical torture. That's what we've got at Mizzou. That's what happened at Mizzou.
Right. This was Fiji. This was 2021, the fall. And there was this guy, Danny Santoli, and he was pledging to Fiji, like I said. And I guess what happened was they told him he had to finish a whole bottle of liquor. The other pledges were told the same thing. Supposedly he was, you know, doing beer bongs, like all kinds of things. He was drinking beer and all sorts of liquor. And he ends up on the couch and they come to find him not breathing, take him to the emergency room. He's in cardiac arrest. Now he's suffered severe brain damage and lost his ability to walk, talk, see. Like, you look at these pictures before, he's unrecognizable now. So what has happened was Christmas Eve this past year, Joe Biden signed the Stop Campus Hazing Act into law. And what it does is it requires universities to basically include hazing incidents in their annual safety report, which would then mean that parents, anybody would have access to that. So if your son's considering pledging one of the fraternities, you would be able to get that information to see if they've had a history of incidents like
this. So how does it define hazing?
That maybe weren't big enough to shut them down, but were big enough to have to report. My understanding of it from what I've heard in these stories I've been Googling is that if the authorities are involved, you have to report this. So anytime there would be a situation, like let's say somebody has to go get their stomach pumped, I would think that that would be part of this report that you have to
share. It was part of the pledge process.
I guess if it's part of hazing. And that's an interesting point is, what if this happens outside of that? Do you still have to report it?
Right. Well, so when my kid was down there, he pledged SAE as a freshman originally. And by then, they had already changed the rules because of hazing, that the minute you signed a pledgeship, you were basically already sworn in as an active, but you still had to complete one semester of pledgeship to make it official, kind of thing, right? And it was all minor stuff. Like, none of it was physical. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just think you have places where they've abused it, but they've changed the rules so much that I think a good hard liability talk to all of these kids at the beginning of each semester is, you can ruin, look at this case, this poor kid that is like a vegetable now, right? Look at this case. Don't be part of this. It will ruin the rest of your life. It accomplishes nothing to torture or injure people to become part of this group. You've got to avoid doing this, bearing in mind that most teenage boys, their frontal lobes are not fully developed. Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, and I think that's necessary. But most people, you agree, would know that murder can, if you murder someone and you're caught, which you likely will be, your life is going to be ruined because you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. But it doesn't stop many people, sadly. So I think, yes, that talk is absolutely necessary. But I think this is a step in the right direction because at least it gives you information. And if there are enough reports of this, it deters people from wanting to pledge that frat, and then they'll be forced to make changes, hopefully.
The bill is overdue from that standpoint, for sure. Coming up, we're going to talk to Gerard Felitti. He's a political strategist with the Lawfare Project. More about the Supreme Court and the vote to not block sentencing for Donald Trump. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.